Sharks fans, don't miss your chance to be at the Can't Miss Games of the Year and see the newest members of the Sharks. On July 2nd, we will announce the 2024-25 season schedule, and individual game tickets will go on sale that same day. Visit sjsharks.com/tickets to sign up for a ticket on sale alert. That's sjsharks.com/tickets.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I know that I myself am looking forward to the Sharks having a chance for revenge because, well, the last time these two teams played against each other, I remember the Sharks getting beat pretty badly. We don't have to go into any specifics on that, but I would think there is proper motivation for revenge. I will also say that when I woke up this morning, I did not expect to get a text from my buddy at 6:06 about a tweet that came out at 6:05 from the Pittsburgh Penguins. And this is, this is a first. The Penguins have announced today that the shipment carrying the Jager bobbleheads for tonight's game has been stolen en route to Pittsburgh. As a result, the bobbleheads will not be distributed at tonight's game, but will be distributed at a later date. I got to admit, guys, that is a... That's a new one for me. And what exactly is the plan there? What are you doing with a bunch of black market Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads? And where are you putting all those? Just so many questions. I would like to think that the wrong storage container or something got stolen because nobody would want that many bobbleheads to themselves. Or maybe I'm underestimating the black market bobblehead situation. But just a little bit of confusion on my ends. And we will see where this story ends up. Because I feel like it eventually will be trending towards a resolution at some point. Now, they did say that they were giving fans vouchers and allowing them to turn them in at a later date. But yeah, that was one that I was not entirely expecting. And again, I'm waiting for the next twist and turn in this story. Some news and notes out of Sharks Morning Skate today. Crona will get the start again tonight, and he's going to join us in just a few minutes here on the build-up. Devin Cooley will get a start on this road trip, but there are going to be a couple other lineup changes because of illness. That's according to Sheng Peng, who is on scene in Pittsburgh, and I appreciate Sheng traveling with the team because that's something that's not happening a lot in modern sports coverage anymore, but I digress. Ahead of Tuesday night's game, we heard some of Tomáš Hertl's first public commentary meeting with the media in Vegas. It was very weird for him to be with the Vegas colors and wearing their gear, I will admit. But you know what? I keep on coming back to the idea that, yes, as much as it pains me, and I spoke to a gentleman at the Whole Foods in downtown Walnut Creek, Anthony. What's up, Anthony, if you're listening? And he asked me about the trade, and he said, what'd you think? And I was like, yeah, it's pain, surprise. You know, but at the same time, even if I expected it more to happen in the offseason, I do feel over and over again that it is the right move for the franchise, that this is the correct move for the team to make going forward, that they need to be clearing up cap space. And yes, I know that Tomáš Hertl is a very, very good player, but, he's not getting any younger. He is expensive, and the Sharks, in their quest to be better, need to have more higher level quality players elsewhere and developing young talents. And that's how this is going to go. I wish there was a more simple answer, but you sometimes have to get worse to get better. And I know that that's tough to explain on the face of it. And it's something that I've talked about at length over the course of my sports career, just talking about, yeah, sometimes teams have to trade talent. Sometimes teams have to, go out there and make a painful move to give themselves a chance to be better in the future. And yeah, it's not fun. I totally acknowledge that, but it's part of what you have to do to become a better team over the course of a season, to be that much better, to be that much more potent, to be that much more capable as a franchise. And yeah, it's the right move. As much as it pains me to say that, getting rid of a player of Tomáš Hertl's caliber is the right move right now because of where the Sharks' timeline and where Tomáš Hertl's timeline intersect. And right now for the Sharks, that is to free up that cap space to give themselves more freedom for the future. And if you want a more base example of what they're doing. They are looking for the freedom to spend money on more players, to develop more talent, and not have their assets allocated in just one space. So, yes, weird to see Hurdle in that gear. But also, hey, you know what? I hope he wins a cup. I hate that it could potentially be with Vegas, because I'm not a Vegas fan, but I hope he wins a cup because that's what everybody wants to do when they get into the NHL. And Tomáš Hertl is at a point in his career where he probably sees that there's not a lot happening in the immediate future with the Sharks, and he's not getting any younger. So you got to go for it, and I hold nothing against him in that capacity. And I know some people have been, you know, angry at Mike Greer about making this move. Like, no, Mike Greer just made a staggeringly good move that probably expedites the Sharks' rebuild. All right, we are going to take a left turn now, and we are going to bring in Magnus Crona, who is once again in net for the Sharks tonight. Magnus, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm in Pittsburgh right now. So, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I was very, very pleased with your performance specifically last night because, you know, I just watching your game, especially compared to the two earlier performances you had earlier in the year, of which I do not put on you. You were put in some difficult situations, but, you know, the game against Dallas, the game against Ottawa, what you did last night, to me, it just seems like you're seeing the puck so much better. You're moving with so much confidence. How do you feel about your game right now?
I would agree. They're better than the two first appearances. Feel more confident, kind of more safe and sound. Like, I'm not as nervous as I was the first two appearances. And I just feel like I'm present, and like I'm not stressing. I'm just playing my game when I'm out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, just in terms of looking comfortable, like that's the difference to me. And then I guess, you know, looking back, like obviously you get put in that game against Pittsburgh, which is a very difficult situation regardless of how it's going to go down. And then you had the game against Edmonton where I don't think anybody, you know, who's watched hockey would say that was on you, but that had, I don't know, did it rattle your confidence, or you're like, hey, just shake it off. There are going to be bumps in the road. I got to, you know, if I want to play at the NHL level, I got to play at the NHL level, and that might mean a shot or two to my ego.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that last one. Like, obviously, kind of a bump on the road, but I mean, I think I took that, or both of those experiences, kind of the learning process, and try to, it's hard in this situation, but to look at the positives and kind of what I can learn and kind of like grow from there, and then see what actually like takes to be at that level. So
yeah, it's fun though, just because like for me to watch players grow and have this opportunity over the course of a season, like that's what I'm always looking for. Like, I know, you know, the Sharks have not had a good year, obviously, but it leads to opportunity. And right now you are having this opportunity and you're getting more time in front of the net. And three in your last four, you've had above a 925 save percentage. I think 927 in three of your last four games has been the low point. You've had like a 940 and a 960 something. You know, that's the type of thing that allows you to build momentum. Do you feel like you're able to take one game's performance now into the next one, now that you're able to string together performances?
Yeah, I agree. Like, as soon as you kind of feel that confidence that you can string games together, then it kind of settles into your mind that you get like that you get used to the situations, the game like situations that's going to happen, and it kind of makes it easier on the brain and not to overthink things and kind of do less to get more of that aspect.
What has it been like experiencing the difference from the level at the American League versus the NHL?
It's been a good learning curve, I would say. It's kind of different, but also at the same time, not very much. But it's been good. I think at the HL level, like it was good to learn, and especially to be down there. I mean, to get all the work in, especially with Nabokov, I think has helped me tremendously this year, especially like on the ice, but also off the ice to be that pro, my first year pro. So kind of that aspect of life and on the ice and being a pro.
Tell me about working with Nabby, because I don't think I've ever seen him in a bad mood. Maybe you have because you work with him a little bit more closely, but the guy always seems like he's excited to go to work.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. He loves and breathes hockey, so it's just awesome to have him present each and every day down there, and then Thomas Spear up here. I feel like they're a good combination of goalie development here in San Jose, and I think it's been great for my development. And I mean, I think I've seen a kind of a big improvement on myself on and off the ice this year with them helping me. So can't say enough good things about them.
Yeah, no, man, just watching, you know, them all work with you, and just, you know, the room of goalies that's been there between, you know, the Cuda and the Sharks this year, there's a lot of talent, which I think always makes everybody want to be better. Nobody wants to be the, you know, the step down. Everybody wants to keep on trying bringing it up. And then, you know, now that you have, you know, this time we see from, you know, now till whenever it is it, are you trying to say like, yes, I want to be, you know, the NHL guy next year from day one? I mean, I know that Mike Greer is all about making guys prove it and want to get, you know, take that next step. But I mean, are you trying to look at right now as your proving ground for next year? Or are you just saying, I'm going to do whatever I can right now and we'll see what happens in the future?
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to do what I can at the moment and then take it from there. I mean, I can only do what I can do best, and then I'll take it from there. Pretty much. I'm very happy to be in the situation where I'm at, and I'm just trying to make the most out of it.
What did you see in last night's game against Philadelphia? Obviously they scored a power play as well as a 6-on-4 against you guys, you know, later in the game to go ahead. Was it, you know, I know that David Quinn thought your guys' energy dropped a little bit in the second period, but still that's, you know, that's a game that's there, you know, late and an opportunity for you guys to get a game tying goal and send it to overtime. Was the team happy with the performance, Bo, or is it just like, no, there's no moral victory in losing 3-2?
I mean, I think it was like, we were like, not that happy with it. I mean, I think we probably could have given a little more juice out in 5-on-5s. And then I know it's a game of inches. Like I know Eklund almost had a goal by a couple of inches. So it's a game of inches. And I mean, sometimes it's bounces for them, bounces for us. And then we kind of saw in that game and some goals, it was, yeah, bounce off a stick, led to a back door one time or so. It was, yeah. But I mean, can't really be not happy. But I mean, they're in competing for a playoff spot. And I think we played up to the standard first period. Maybe slack a little bit in the second, but I mean, I think we'd never gave fully up. And I think, I mean, that's a positive you could take out of it. But I mean, if you want to take a positive, I mean, we didn't give up and we were close to it. I mean, like I said, it's an inch away from another goal forward, and then we probably could have won the game. So,
yeah, I mean, Barbie was another one. He got denied rights at the doorstep. He had a good look, and that it is. I mean, it's a game of inches. It's tough. And you know, that's what's interesting watching Philip Zadina lately have such a high level of play. I'm just curious, you know, because he's, you know, scored, I think, 6 goals now since the break. Practicing against a guy like Philip Zadina, he had such a, you know, a high draft status and wasn't really able to make it work in Detroit, but now he's at a career high in goals for him through significantly less games. His previous high was like 10 goals in 70-some-odd games. Now he's at 12 and 59. He's really turned it on as of late. You know, just seeing him, you know, at a morning skate or seeing him at practice, what do you see in his game right now?
Yeah, obviously I see a confident player now. I mean, he's probably always been confident, but it's more of that, the posture and like, you know, like the, mm-hmm. he kind of have the little extra now. And it shows, and he's proven that the past couple of games, like you said. And I mean, it's just great to have that. I mean, in morning skate, you can see coming in and shooting and all that stuff. But yeah, like the kind of that late training curve of like how you learn to score in the league and mm-hmm. and how it doesn't happen like in a day for a player. And then I think when they learn how to, and then they just gotta keep it going.
Bordolo came up and immediately had 3 goals in his first 2 games. Does that surprise you at all? Because I know you've obviously with Barracuda, you probably played a lot against him in practice. You're used to his game. Are you surprised that he was able to come up and immediately have success?
No, I'm not surprised. Obviously, I played with him this year, and then I played against him a couple of years ago. Skilled player. Just finds his footing now, and I think it's great for him. Very good guy and hard worker, and I mean, just a great player all around, I think.
Yeah, no, it's fun to watch his game develop. And I always just wonder about how much of that, you know, that competition that you guys all have in practice, when you get used to, you know, trying to stop a guy like Thomas Bortolo day after day. And you've seen the success that Justin Bailey has had since he's come up, and you've seen the success that Ryan Carpenter has had since he's been up with the Sharks. Like, I always feel that having that talent pool to draw from allows everybody to get better, just the same way they're trying to put one past you in practice, probably levels up their game heading into the actual game itself.
Yeah, exactly. I think it kind of elevates the standard a little bit, make it a little more competitive, and that you kind of want to beat your friends, or you want to beat the skill guide or whatever it is, or your best buddy or whatever it can be. And I think that's a great aspect in a team, to kind of elevate each other on a good basis. I mean, I don't see any negative in that. It just brings out more competitiveness and that kind of want to win.
What is the coaching staff said to you after your performances lately?
They've been saying I've been doing a good job. I mean, I really appreciate everything they say to me. I listen a lot to them. It means a lot when they tell me stuff like that.
After games, how many texts are on your phone?
After last night, not so many, because it's only a 5-hour change back home. But
that's true. Yeah, you're a little closer.
Yeah. In California, it's like 9 hours. So then all of them are pretty much up. But yeah, only yesterday, it was probably only like four.
That's funny. When you are playing on a afternoon on the West Coast, is your family back home able to, do they get up and watch? I mean, do they have the, I don't know what the subscription service is. Is it Sky TV that they're able to watch the NHL? How does that work?
Back home we have Viaplay.
Okay.
So it's like a more Swedish ESPN stuff that's pretty much streams like all the NHL games. So they, like, when it's a 7 p.m. it's usually not too bad in back home.
Nice.
So like 4 a.m.
Everybody wants to get up at 4 a.m. and watch hockey.
Oh yeah.
Although honestly, if there was NHL hockey that it was on at 4 a.m., I probably would be up to watch it too, because like when the World Cup was on for soccer, I was getting up and watching games at 6 and 5 in the morning. So it seemed pretty much, if there's sports on, we'll watch it. But well, Magnus, I will let you go, man, but I appreciate your time. Keep tearing it up out there, man. You're playing great, and we will see you soon, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Again, that is Magnus Crona joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network, and he will be your starting netminder for the San Jose Sharks tonight as they take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Little bit of an update on the San Jose Sharks and where they are in the standings right now in the NHL, in case you've not been paying uber close attention. Chicago did win the other night when the Sharks lost. So Chicago has 41 points to the Sharks, 39 points on the season. The Sharks have a 305 winning percentage. The Blackhawks are up to 311. The Blackhawks have actually won 2 in a row. The Sharks 1-7-2 in their last 10. The Blackhawks 3-5-2 in their last 10 games. Taking a look at the Sharks schedule after today, it is a Saturday 4:00 go time in Columbus, and then it's a back-to-back where they are taking on Chicago on Sunday the 17th. That is a 3:00 go time, and then on the 19th, the Tuesday night, they are going to be taking on Nashville before they are finally back home for 3 on Thursday night, when they play host to Tampa, and then they will be playing host to Chicago and then Dallas before they're off to Minnesota and St. Louis to finish off the month of March. And of course, that takes us to April. And yeah, it's pretty much just every other day from here on out. I think there's one day where there is a 2-day gap in the schedule, but otherwise, yeah, it's a lot of Sharks hockey from now until the 18th of April. We get, a month and a couple days of hockey left, and I'm going to enjoy it, because I always say this, as painful as this season has been in more recent memory, I always enjoy watching the development of these teams and these storylines. I'm excited to see Fabian Zetterlund of the future. At this point, I am personally hoping that you can get a new deal with Filip Zadina, because I think his game has taken big leaps forward. I'm excited to see what the future has for him. I love what I've seen out of Thomas Bortolo lately. I love the player that William Eklund is becoming over the course of the season. I'm excited about this. I want to see exactly what the Sharks are going to be in the future. And unfortunately, after April 18th, we are not going to see the Sharks again until early in the fall, when this all gets started up again. All right, I will see you all tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. Pre-game coverage at 3:30 today. Go time 4 right here on the Sharks Audio Network as the Sharks visit the Penguins. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.